Don't you worry about a thing. Jesus Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are coming at you live from the Mercy Live Up Studio here in beautiful downtown Des Moines, Iowa. Also through the airwaves, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, and streaming at you live on the Iowa Catholic Radio app, which we are happy to have underwritten by Blessman Ministries and the People's Abstract Company. Bud, how are you doing today, my friend?
Doing great this morning. It's a great day to be alive. I heard through the grapevine that you were at Christ Our Life this weekend. How'd that go?
Christ Our Life was marvelous. The sheer amount of people that were able to come through. We were on the radio table in the outer ring, and every time there was a break, it was just like this great parade of wonderful humanity, friends, new friends that we got to meet, and I had the privilege of getting to interview with Tom Quiner, quite a few of the speakers. So it was a great blessing, and I'm really proud of our Des Moines community for showing up so well.
I've heard it's a very low energy event.
Yeah, right. Everybody's very somber. No, well, you know, we have all sorts of people throughout the diocese to thank Bishop Pates, our own John Leonetti. I think there's pictures out there of him dancing, which is, you know, quite wonderful. But yeah, everybody who set up to make it possible, we just want to send out a great thank you. And again, I'm really proud of Des Moines for being able to pull something off like that. Something else I'm very proud of, our show is underwritten by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where Bud and I are both professors. But I've been seeing through Facebook and talking to some of our students that we have a lot of them who are passing their NCLEX, which is the board exam for nursing, getting jobs here in Des Moines at Mercy Hospital, all the way up in the Mayo Clinic. Really exciting time to get to hear the good news about a lot of our students at Mercy College.
What's awesome about this time of year is, like you mentioned, hearing about them passing their exams and starting to find jobs and really getting plugged into that work they've been wanting to do. Most of it, I know, is probably due to my teaching.
Right.
It kind of stems back from, I don't know how much you
did,
but
there was a very important moment in their life that brought them to where they're at now. Yeah. Well, they saw servant leadership with Bo and Bud Maher at Mercy College of Health Sciences, and they're like, you're hired.
Yep.
Well, no. We thank Mercy College for underwriting the show, and great sponsors to have, and a great place to work. Well, what are we going to have for people today on our show, Bud?
Well, our topic today gets into the subject matter of solidarity and subsidiarity, and these relate back to, so a couple weeks ago we touched on justice, mm-hmm. and both of these relate to the common good, the main theme of our show, and we were talking beforehand, you know, these solidarity and subsidiarity, sometimes there's this mistaken opinion out there that, you know, one group has the corner on the market of solidarity,
right,
and the other on subsidiarity, but they're both, I mean, they're closely interrelated, right?
Yeah, I think that if we're going to sort of sell the term short, subsidiarity sometimes gets merely taken as small government and solidarity mm-hmm. merely as overarching government or something like this. One thing you've probably noticed about us folks already is one of the themes that we have for the show is that the Catholic social teaching is often truncated, and when that happens, the sheer beauty of what we're talking about sort of gets trampled underfoot. And so one of the things that we're here is not to simply dispel myths, like we're some sort of like myth busters or smart guys. What we really want to talk about is the beauty, the refulgency, the sort of depth of what these words mean. And so it's not so much that we're trying to like nitpick on people saying, don't say that about subsidiarity and solidarity, but to really let the terms breathe so that we can understand the sort of full impact that they have or can have on our life.
I think that's right. I think there is a way. You mentioned not dispelling myths. That's completely true. But where society or what Scripture calls the pattern of the world can kind of begin to sneak into our minds where our foundational commitment is our life in Christ. So when we're thinking about how we live our lives, not only at an individual level but socially, we always want to make sure that we're coming back to the teachings of the church, because those are life-giving.
Well, folks, that's what we have on tap today. We really want look forward to having you back, so stick around, and in a minute, we'll dive deeply into solidarity and subsidiarity. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher.
Choosing a bank is not an easy decision. When you bank with Northwest Bank, you'll know you've made the right choice.
They provide exceptional service and accounts tailored to meet your financial needs by experts who make you feel welcome, delivering fast and friendly service. The priority at Northwest Bank is to offer you the latest banking conveniences to help make your life easier.
Northwest Bank, online at bank-northwest.com. Northwest Bank is commitment you can bank on. Member FDIC.
Thank you, R&R Realty Group, for underwriting Dowling 365. R&R Realty Group has been accommodating business expansions and real estate solutions since 1985, solving commercial real estate needs by establishing long-term relationships built on trust.
Welcome back to The Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner with Dr. Bud Maher. And here we are going to dive deeply into two words, solidarity and subsidiarity, and what they mean for the Catholic social tradition. There's all sorts of ways that we can approach this, Bud. I think one of the ways we should do this first is the words can kind of seem difficult. So let's break them down real quick and talk about what the words mean, and then we'll turn to Scripture maybe for some inspiration.
So that first word that we mentioned, solidarity, you can see the meaning really packed into the word, so you probably recognize the term solid. And I think that really captures this idea that our society or our life together is a network of interwoven relationships, that we're not these kind of disparate monads, but we're woven together, and that creates a kind of solidity or substance to our common life.
And that can be at a great level. So we talk about the solidarity of our humanity, that we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ as human beings. But that could even be something like the Beach Boys, "Be True to Your School." I'm dating myself here. We can sing that later if we have time. But even like the idea of having a solidarity for your university, your town, even your sort of civic institution, Knights of Columbus, things like that. But that's solid, that we're trying to talk about what is solid between the relationships of human beings.
When you mentioned the Beach Boys, you know, a common term for colleges is alma mater, my mother. And that captures this idea of, like, this is a really important foundational committee at a community at a local level. So there's all these sorts of communities that we might take for granted. You mentioned schools, of course, churches, the Knights of Columbus, that do really important work and that make a just living together possible.
So the other word, subsidiarity, may be a little bit more difficult. We don't have like an easy phrase within it like solid. But I want you to think about related words real quick, and I think it will help shed some light. So subsidiarity, you also have a word like substance, so substance, which literally means what stands beneath something. When we talk about the substance that stand beneath, it's like what upgirds or holds the thing? What is it made of? Another word maybe is subsists. So subsists, what exists underneath. You might have heard the church document talk about that the church subsists in the Roman Catholic Church, which means exists under, it undergirds this. A subsidiarity, like in a business, is something that exists under a bigger entity. So you start hearing two sort of facets in the word subsidiarity. One is the sense of under, and we're really going to press this as meaning local in a way, but not to overdo it, but kind of keep that in mind. There's a sense in which subsidiarity is about something underneath a bigger thing, but there's also this idea of existence and substance. Where is it that the thing best is at substantially? So keep those two things in mind as we move into talking about subsidiarity.
So, Bo, one thing I've heard with subsidiarity has to do with if an issue or maybe even a problem could be dealt with at a local level, it should be dealt with at that level rather than intervention from, say, an authority or a group at a higher level. Do you have any examples in mind? I mean, what are we getting at with that point?
Well, so one of the things that is important to me is that people on the ground are involved with decisions for what's being made. A disastrous level, so example, which may be a negative one, in Haiti, they decided that they were going to make this dam, and I forget what the dam's name is.
It's the Pellegre Dam.
Thank you, Bud. Yep. Is smarter than I am. That's why you got the doctor part.
Not true.
So this dam, they had this great idea for it. They wanted to power. They wanted it to make power in Port-au-Prince. However, they didn't scope out or ask anyone on the ground. And so when they did this, they destroyed all the natural fisheries, which these people had used for years on end to feed themselves and actually be relatively self-sufficient, at least in terms of Haiti. So subsidiarity doesn't say that it needs to be a small government or it must be this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. But because people didn't think about those who exist locally, right, who that their existence undergirds that place, they missed out on very important voices yep. about why even a good thing like a dam generating power might actually be very bad for the locale on the ground.
Yeah, something that might hit closer to home. And these are complex questions, complex issues sometimes. But we think about in our own cities here in the United States, maybe building interstates or highways, and that creates a sort of convenience. But sometimes I think in the conversations when those things are getting off the ground is, how is this going to affect the communities that that interstate might pass through or pass over?
Right. And I mean, the minute that you put like an interstate over something, that immediately has ramifications. People aren't pulling off at this gas station. They're not at this grocery store. But then also, you know, environmental ramifications, all these things like this. And so subsidiarity is not necessarily going to say this is obviously where the decision needs yeah. to be made. But it's a principle that says we need to go all the way down, but then think about up the chain where these things are best understood. An example I'll give the other way, yeah. so not where it needs to be most local, but where it needs to go up a step. So Moses has the people of Israel, and they're gone from Egypt, and so now they're their own people, and they have to figure out their own way of life. And so people of that time period were like, you know what, if you kill a family member of mine, then it's my responsibility to avenge that death. And there's a way in which there's a justice to this, but if that's what we devolve down into, our society is just going to be the Hatfields and McCoys and just be endless revenge. So Moses makes a point, but from command from God, that on the principle of subsidiarity, he doesn't use this word, but this is what people will point out, is that there needs to be an authority higher than the families that will avenge deaths and enact justice. We can't all be vigilante Batmans. Subsidiarity actually says not that we need to go a level down, but actually a level up and have some aspect of society that that is responsible for justice.
So in the first piece of the first segment this today, we were talking about how these two are interrelated. I was reading an interesting blog post this week by Monsignor Charles Pope. He's out of the Washington, D.C. area. It seems like a really great priest and a solid mind. But he was talking about solidarity and subsidiarity, and he was saying that in a certain sense, solidarity, paying attention to this, helps make subsidiary possible.
Right. We have to have a concept of why we're all in this together before we can start talking about at what level something, so to speak, best exists at. Another example from Scripture I think that is very powerful is St. Paul's metaphor that the church is a body. And now we think about this mostly in spiritual terms. That's how he was bringing it up. You know, the foot can't mm-hmm. be the mouth. The hand cannot be the mind, all of these things like this, so that each part has its own distinct purpose, and then it has one overarching point, service to the Lord. But if we really expand that and talk about civic engagement or the civic reality as a body politic, and mean that not only as a metaphor, but in some ways a real substantial thing, that we are a body together, you can start to see how solidarity and subsidiarity have to work out. Because the body is not just a single monad or a single one thing, but it's also not just the sum total of individual cells. That would start to be ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
You should legitimately be more worried about destroying brain cells than hair cells. Sorry to all the balding men out there. But primarily, a body is not a whole thing or just its cells, but really your body is organs that are intertwined into organ groups that then unite for the total purpose of the body. Yeah. Your heart is important on its own, but it really makes sense in terms of the circulatory system. Your lungs are important on their own, but it makes it, so everything is a part of a larger community within your body, but then your body itself has a united purpose. So the body's united purpose is like solidarity. And then subsidiarity, like if you were a doctor, mm-hmm. you would try to figure out the best level to tackle a question on. So if your arm is infected with gangrene, we might cut it off. But on the other hand, if you have a scrape, a doctor's like, well, we got to cut your arm off. Well, that's bad subsidiarity, right?
You went straight to gangrene.
That's right. Well, I'm from Oklahoma.
Well, earlier we were talking about these different institutions, and with, you know, we're in the election season, so this is on my mind some. And there's a way as Christians we can think about that process, and the bishops have given us some ways to reflect on voting as Christians. But we don't want to forget, you know, some of those local communities that we talked about. So we threw out the Knights of Columbus. In the Middle Ages, you had groups like guilds or trades. And these groups passed on, they would train younger individuals how to work, but they would also take care of the members of the group. So when sometimes these conversations can seem sort of abstract, and we say, how as Christians, how as followers of Christ do we live this out? In some ways, it can be plugging into something like the Knights of Columbus, or is there a sodality or an apostolate at my church where I can have a more active, concrete means of taking care of the poor in my community?
And one thing, and again, you're probably picking up on themes. We're going to talk about how things have changed substantially in the modern world, and you might think that we're being Luddites or something like that. Let me guarantee you that I'm not speaking into a can. I'm actually speaking into a microphone, so I'm not against technology. I even sometimes go to the doctor, people. You can call me on a phone. So I'm not being anti-technology and modernity. We're just trying to say that something has changed since maybe the early church and the medieval world. And one of those things is the understanding about how the body politic works. We really will... We have a tendency in the modern world to try to simplify things so much that we start to miss out on very important aspects that a reality in all its complexity has. I think this happens a lot in the church. We always want to be like, what's the essence of Christianity? What's the essence of Catholicism? And what I always like to point out is that Catholicism really is all of us big old messy people, and you're just going to have to deal with us, right? Well, the same thing with the body politic. I really feel that many takes on politics is either melt everything down to the individual or melt everything down into the state as a whole. But when you look at Catholic understandings of social teaching, and this is really shown through solidarity and subsidiarity, what we want is a thick, interwoven world of what I would say are middle institutions. And middle institutions, like we've been repeating, are everything from churches and universities down to your bowling league. There's even a book, friends, written about how participation in bowling leagues has precipitated and picked up pace. The book's called Bowling Alone. It's actually old at this point.
Yeah, more and more people are bowling alone these days.
Or not even bowling. They're virtual bowling alone, right? And so even something like a bowling league or like getting together as neighbors is a matter of solidarity and subsidiarity in a way that you might not think matters, but is actually really important.
Yeah, I love, you've already mentioned St. Paul's metaphor of the body, and that metaphor of a body captures the organic nature of this. In that same passage, St. Paul says that we give a special dignity to the weakest members. I know at Mercy College, we've really tried to challenge the students to open their eyes or to be aware of this sort of thing, of the weaker members in our society, and not to just boil down. So we have to be careful how we talk about this, but you think about something like philanthropy, and God has blessed different members of the church in different ways, and those that can give out of the abundance of what they've received, that's a great thing. There is a sense sometimes where simply writing a check could maybe create a distance between oneself and the weaker members, and the saints are just so wonderful at this, where you see people like St. Francis of Assisi, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Yesterday was the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul, where their lives become an overflowing of God's grace, and they build these solid, very close relationships with the poor that are around them.
Right, and I that's just a perfect way to start to think about that. You know, when we interact with people who need help, it's not simply transactional. Yeah. And there's a way in which if we don't have solidarity, it can just be like you're saying, like, well, here's a transaction, you're down and out, here's my help. But solidarity makes us go, no, this is my brother and sister that needs help. And again, we're not here trying to make some sort of caricature as if poor people are great, rich people are bad. Blah. No, that's insane. And you look at the New Testament. You want to know who some of the first converts were actually very rich people in that time,
yeah,
who then saw their life intertwined with the poor. I always joke around that it's not that I want rich people to start taking pride, right? They're like, the poor of Des Moines, you know, look how well we treat them. They sleep on, you know, golden pillows. That'd probably be uncomfortable, but you get my point, right?
Yeah.
Is that it's not wrong to be wealthy. God gives some people strength But the Christian understanding through solidarity and subsidiarity is that he gives that strength for the sake of the weak. And I like how you put this with St. Francis of Assisi. A great way to see this is that all of these parts are necessary. One of my favorite icons is of St. Francis of Assisi in all of his poor rags being embraced by Pope Innocent III, the Pope at the time, in all of his royal regalia, very splendid medieval regalia. And to point out that in the church, both are necessary, and that subsidiarity is going to say that some things need to be dealt by the local beggar, St. Francis, but some things must be dealt with by the Pope as a regal figure at the head of the church. Well, the same thing works for the body politics, friends. Some things really are your responsibility as neighbors. You'll hear people turn violent, or they do this, or they do that, and you'll go to the neighbors, and they'll be like, oh, I don't know, they were the quiet type. And I'm not accusing any neighbors, but it does seem like sometimes we don't even know. We'll want to be friends and love people and not know who lives around our block.
Yeah.
That's subsidiarity. On the other hand, there's things with the government, any government wants to like not take responsibility for. That's subsidiarity. There's some things the governments must do.
Well, this is a constant challenge in my own life, something that the Holy Spirit is consistently convicting me about. But I think, you know, when we begin to think about giving out of the abundance of what God has given us, for me, it's not a matter of feeling better about myself or even sort of like a leveling of income or anything like that, but it's an opportunity to have an encounter with Christ. We were with folks from St. Vincent de Paul yesterday, and one of them reminded me of the passage where, in the end, Jesus invites those into his house who gave him something to drink, who gave him clothes to wear when they were naked, who visited him in prison. And of course, some of the sheep say to him, Lord, when did we give you clothes or a drink or visit you in prison? And he says, whatever you did unto the least of these, you did unto me. So anytime we live into that that solidarity that we've been talking about in its appropriate places, it's an opportunity to encounter our risen Lord.
Well, folks, when we get back, we're going to have a wonderful, great moments in church history that, just to be braggarts, but I think is going to exemplify this maybe better than you've ever seen in your entire lives.
Yeah, this you do want to stick around. So we've been talking about St. Francis of Assisi. This is truly one of the great moments in church history, one of my favorites. So you'll definitely want to stick around for this one.
Yep, stick around. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you, R&R Realty Group, for underwriting Dowling 365. R&R Realty Group has been accommodating business expansions and real estate solutions since 1985, solving commercial real estate needs by establishing long-term relationships built on trust.
Announcing our new Encounter Jesus one-week challenge campaign, Evangelization Made Easy. You can participate in Encounter Jesus by simply inviting your friends and family to listen to Iowa Catholic Radio for 1 week. Whether for 15 minutes a day or 2 hours a day, the Lord is able to touch lives through Catholic radio. We're so excited to partner with different parishes in the Encounter Jesus 1 Week Challenge. Go to iowacatholicradio.com to find out when your parish is doing their week.
St. Vincent de Paul's assists those living in poverty to become self-sufficient. Learn more at svdpsm.org or call 515-282-8327. This message brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
We're back with the Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. Bud, what are you thinking about what we're about to do next?
I think we have to do great moments in church history. My 9-year-old Madeline, I've passed on my Husker allegiance to her, and this has become her favorite segment of the show. So she told me last night, you know, if you don't do the great moments, I may stop listening. So for the sake of keeping one listener, I think we should probably
all right
great moments.
Let's roll it.
And now, great moments in church history.
The year 1206. The place, Assisi.
Giovanni di Pietro de Bordone,
or Francis for short, was about to make a decision for the ages.
He's been a soldier and a lover of fine silk all his young life, Kent. Sources close to Francis say he's going to get married soon and choose to stay with the spirit of the world.
Little did the rich bozos who called themselves his friends know that Francis had another bride in mind, Lady Poverty.
All the recruiting experts think Francis is a lock to follow in his father's footsteps, Joe. But rumor has it he's spending time with beggars and rebuilding churches, which is not the style the spirit of the world likes to run. Sources say he's even kissed a leper.
Team Poverty's glory days seemed faded in medieval Assisi, but with one fateful decision, Francis was about to send them roaring back into the national spotlight.
Today's the big choice, Kent. In front of the bishop, all Francis has to do is choose his father's side, and the spirit of the world can... Wait a minute, folks. He's not choosing his father. He's rejecting his father's trade. His father demands payback for all he's been given, and Francis is removing his clothes and renouncing all he owns. The bishop has swaddled him in his mantle and claimed him for Lady Poverty. If one picture is worth 1,000 words, you've seen about 1,000,000 words.
Francis would go on to found such dynasties like the Friars Minor and the Poor Clares, and Lady Poverty would change medieval Italy for centuries to come. This has been another great moment in church history.
Medieval recording technology always amazes me, bud.
Yeah, it's truly amazing sort of what kind of like precursor to what we know today.
I mean, if they can pull that off, the Shroud of Turin shouldn't mess with anybody,
no.
Right? Well, this has been a wonderful show, and you know, one of the things that I always lament a little, bud, is I feel like we could talk for 2 more hours. But I hope that this gives just a sort of it piques your interest to look deeper into these friends, that it's never worthwhile to try to go short on the church's understanding of its social teaching.
Yeah, there's so many great resources out there. I think of the Compendium of Catholic Social Teaching. Of course, some of the great encyclicals going back to Rerum Novarum all the way up through our current Holy Father, Pope Francis. But we're not lacking for treasures in the Catholic Church in terms of looking into these issues.
So solidarity, I hope that – I think people sometimes – can grasp that a little bit better, especially when it comes to, hopefully, like we were saying, that it doesn't have to be all universal. That can be local too. But subsidiarity is the one that I think that we can all begin to work on. Subsidiarity, sometimes I think in political discourse, can be sort of like something they're not doing. Why aren't they letting us do that? And I think you did a brilliant job of talking about how subsidiarity is something that knocks on our door as well. So, you know, we look at the problems in our life and we think, well, there's someone up the chain that should deal with that. But what are we doing on the local level? And hopefully subsidiarity convicts us to get involved in the small ways. Of course, we can't build bridges or dams or things like this, but we can shake a hand or we can ask a question or we can do the small things, and that is subsidiarity as well.
Yeah, it's not passing the buck or complaining about governmental intervention or anything like that. It's beginning to think about what does it mean to be faithful in my context, and seeking just social relations by saying, well, you put it wonderfully with the whole doctor metaphor. Where do we deal best with this particular issue or subject?
And now, frankly, on the other hand, government, if you're listening, please stop intervening with church. That's something we're going to have to deal with at some point, is talk about religious liberty. There's no doubt about that. And that starts to be, and I think this is important, friends. There's many problems we face and of a political nature, but we need to have our ducks in a row. And we can make it sound like just whining, like we're mad because people are messing with the church. But if we know what subsidiarity is, we might have a stronger claim when we argue for things like religious liberty, if we understand our own Catholic social teaching.
So it's been wonderful to be with you today. Stick around for the praying of the Holy Rosary. Bo, do you have a way to sign us off?
For all of you friends, for everybody involved, we want to thank you for allowing this to happen. But we sincerely wish on you the peace of Christ. And may that peace of the Prince of Peace reign in your hearts, in your families, in our cities, in the nation, and the entire world. God bless, and we'll see you next time. This is The Uncommon Good.
Yep.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.
Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Helping you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Have you heard? We now have our own Iowa Catholic Radio app, and it's free. You can download it onto your smartphone and listen anytime, anywhere. No need to worry if you're out of town or out of range. No problem. Download the app from your app store today to get your God Talk radio dose wherever you are. Thank you to our app sponsors, Blessman Ministries and People.